Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So we are in the middle of our Explore group campaign. And what a blessing it's been. And I must say that I've worked through that booklet before, that Walking with Jesus. And the app really makes it very user-friendly, makes it much more, it makes it easier. So please, if you haven't joined in yet, there's still a chance to join a group. And I want to encourage you, even if you're not hosting, or even if you can't make all the weeks, just slot in. Just make sure that you get to a group in the weeks that you are able to. And it's not a long time. It's 6 weeks. Most of us have done 1 week. But jump in there. You're still able to sign up on the website to join a group as well. So please do that. And yeah, it's going to bless you. Great. Thank you. So I want us to take a moment to pray together. And we're really making a habit of this, to pray as a congregation. And with convergence coming up, and just with God, what God is stirring in our hearts in terms of the sound of the harvest, you know, it's with that expectation that we're coming together as a church family from all over, even guys from the Netherlands and the UK, some of those will probably be joining as well. But us joining together, humbling ourselves before God, saying, Lord, you know, this is your church. Talk to us about the harvest. Amen. Talk to us about the harvest. Stir our hearts. Equip us. Send us out. So I want us to take 2 minutes or so just to pray together for what that time. For what God wants to do, for our hearts to be ready, for us to position ourselves, to be able to hear what He has to say to us as a movement, as individuals. So if you're comfortable to pray with somebody next to you, please do that. If you prefer, pray on your own. That's also great. But let's take 2 minutes and just bring the conference to before God. But more specifically, to open our hearts to what He wants to say about the harvest and to stir our heart for the harvest and for the lost. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can call on your name as the Lord of the harvest, Lord. And we humble our hearts before you, God, and acknowledge that often, Lord, our hearts are not in sync with your heart as when it comes to the lost and when it comes to the harvest. So we humble ourselves and we ask, God, that you would, in these weeks and time to before the conference even, that you would in a new way, in a fresh way, come and stir our hearts for the lost and for your harvest, for your kingdom, for your purpose. God, and we even bring that time that we've set aside to meet with you as a movement, as a body. We consecrate it to you. And we say, Lord, come and speak to us. Come and meet with us, Lord, in a special way. Lord, we trust even now, Lord, for a mighty impartation, a mighty mobilizing of a powerful sending out of laborers, Lord. And we include ourselves in that number, Lord. We trust that you would do a work in us that we would never be the same, Lord. And we even pray for every other congregation involved, Lord. We pray for what's happening and the preparations, and we pray that you'd stir our hearts with an expectation and with an urgency. And we thank you, Lord, that we can consecrate this to you for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much. Abigail's turning 8 this week, and we've been counting the sleeps, and so she's very excited about that. No pressure. That I'll tell you, when she was a baby, one of the first words she said was "Wow," and she received gifts so well, because I mean, at the first birthday, even, you know, seeing the gift, I can't even remember what it was, that she was just going, Wow. Now, even as a one-year-old, and so it's always such a privilege and a blessing to give her something. But David's also been counting the days, because a friend of mine from primary school, good friend still, he's into this radio-controlled stuff. So he's got radio-controlled cars and airplanes and everything, and builds them himself. And he had this older plane there in his garage, that, and he just got this idea one day that he wants to give it to David. I was like, really? You know? and then he asked his son whether it'd be okay, because it, technically, you know, he was using it. And he was fine. Yes, he's more into the cars now. You know, he's racing these little, he's not little, big petrol radio-controlled cars. And he says, yes, that's good. And then this boy, this son, couldn't, you know, hold it in. So at school, he told David, obviously they've got a couple of years between them, but he found them there on the, and he said to him, listen, yeah, we're going to give you this thing. And I thought, oh, it's not a great move, because now, and then David came home and said, Dad, they want to give me this thing. I said, really? Do they, to keep? So he said, I don't know. And then and I said, are you sure? And he was thrown a bit, you know, and then, and I said, I'll chat to Wim Ruan, and we chatted about it, and I said, yes, it seems that they do want to give you something. And he said, what is it going to be? You know, and I asked him, what do you think? And he thought, maybe like this one, like something like this, an airplane, you know. And then he was counting the sleeps and asking me any moment, can we go to Wim Ruan? Can we go and get that thing, you know? So last night we went there, sure. And then you should have seen his face, because the thing is this size. It's a proper. So obviously we have to learn first what to do with this thing now. It's not something you just randomly take on. So I had to explain that to him. It's going to be a process. And I'm going to have to learn, and he's going to have to learn, and then so that we don't smash it on the first try. But that anticipation and his face when he saw that, it was really an incredible thing to see. And I trust we have that same anticipation this morning. Amen. To draw near to God. Let's pray for the word. Lord, we thank you that we come with an anticipation and with a joy in our hearts and with an expectation to you, Lord, because you are good and because you are a good Father. And Lord, we trust this morning that you would impart life to us. We trust that you would impart grace to us. We trust, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into truth, Lord. We are not here for an opinion or anything that any man has dreamt up, Lord. We are here to meet with you, God, and we are here to receive from you. We are here to be transformed, to glorify your name in us and through us in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're busy with this series of working through the Explore campaign, and we're working through that Walking with Jesus book. And this week, there's a lot in a week. Eh? We in our group, sure, you know, the discussion was amazing, but there's such a lot to cover, such a lot of very core things to work through. But so I'm just going to touch on a few of those this morning, and I trust for us to be blessed. And just before we start, I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures that. Where God kind of communicates some of what he requires of us. And there's some heavy things in there, you know. There's some challenging scriptures in there. I want to look at one or two of those, just kind of to set the, kind of to us, get us going. Let's look at that first slide. So in John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Which is, I think, it's probably fair, right? If we want to really love God and serve Him, follow Him as Lord, then this sounds like a fair thing to say, right? We've got to do His commandments. Okay, so Jesus says that. He says this kind of casually, but I think it's quite a loaded statement there. There's a lot in there. Then First Peter, Peter writes, he says, God says in, actually he's quoting the Old Testament, he says, God says, be holy, for I am holy. So not only does he want us to do his commandments, he wants us to be holy, just as he is holy. So that's stepping it up a little bit, don't you think? I don't know, God's getting a bit heavy for me now. Be holy, for I'm holy, God says. And then Matthew 5, he says, have you heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy? And there's a few times that Jesus does this in the Gospels. He says, you've heard this. This has been the standard for now. That's all finished now. I'm raising the standard. I'm like, what, Jesus? I thought you're gonna give us a bit of grace and slack the standard. He says, have you heard? You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Now it's getting quite hectic now. Okay, doing the commandments of the Lord, you know, being holy. Now he wants us to love our enemies, bless those who curse you. Guys, I don't know about you. This is a tall order coming through here. A big ask. In Matthew 18, he says, Jesus said to him, do not say to you, he's talking about forgiveness there. I've put it in brackets there. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, forgive up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. So Jesus, again, is saying, don't go where you've been before under the law, under grace. This is where I want you to live. And then he even takes it once. On top of all of this hectic stuff, he says, I'm giving you this mandate as well to go and take this great news to all the world. He says, go as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. If you weren't a bit intimidated by all these other stuff that God is requiring of, now he's saying, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I don't know about you. We were doing marriage prep this weekend. I enjoy doing marriage prep, partly because I take a couple of notes on the side there every time. You know, it just keeps you a bit on your toes. But we were talking about temperaments again. Just a kind of brief intro to Tall Trees, just to encourage guys to go and do the course. But one of the things that we saw is that there's temperaments, and actually my son David is one of those that, if faced with some tasks, he just says no. He's not going to even try. It's impossible. So you know, certain maybe a puzzle or building something or drawing something, he would just say no, I can't do it because he doesn't want to fail. He doesn't want to even try because he doesn't think he's going to be able to do it. Right? He's got a high expectation of himself, and then he says no, I don't want to try. And I don't know, sometimes maybe we read stuff like this and we feel the same. We're like overwhelmed. Lord, this is crazy stuff. This is impossible thing. This is impossible. You know, I'm thinking, how must the disciples have processed these things? You know, most of them grew up with the word to some extent. So they were accustomed to laws and things. But now Jesus says, I'm not talking about these laws anymore. I'm raising the bar. This is what life looks like. And I'm thinking maybe as some of us approach some of these things in Scripture like this, sure, this is a tall order. I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to even attempt this. But my question is this, you know, it's just in looking at the disciples' point of view, you know, Jesus is there with them. All this amazing stuff happens. Gives them all this stuff to do. And then he dies, which wasn't a highlight, right, for them. At that point, actually, they thought, this is it. This is all, you know, this is all a mess now. We had all these great expectations of Jesus ruling and reigning and delivering us from the Romans. Now he's died. But then he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And then he leaves. What good is that now? Now he's gone, you know. So I want us to look at what are the things that Christ leaves us, the tools that we need to accomplish the great command, the great commission, this mandate that he entrusts to us, these crazy things that he says that he wants us to do. And he says, the stuff I've done, the things I've done, the even greater things he will do. How does he empower us to do this? What does he leave us with to actually accomplish this? You know, I don't know about you, Adnan and I have this thing that we have some discussions about, right? Let's say it like that. We have some discussions about this. So this is the garage. So the garage is kind of my responsibility. And I'm not by nature a very ordered person necessarily. And some things very much so, like my bicycle is always in perfect, you know, not even always. You can ask Christoph, it's dirty a lot. But anyway, so I some things I'm quite ordered with, but some other things I'm not. So this is one of those things. The garage is often a thing that we chat about. And why am I saying this now? Oh, yes. So what frustrates me is that I want to do a job. I want to do something around the house. I know I have the tool. I can't find it. That's not good, guys. That's just frustrating. But even worse than that, or not as bad, but is knowing what tool you need, knowing what you want to do, but if you don't have it, it just kills you. It's just so frustrating. You know, we watch these cooking shows sometimes with Mama. She loves that stuff. And some of them, they tell them the task, they tell them the time, and they say, your time starts now, and the people just run, and they grab the stuff that they need, and they come running with these piles of equipment. Have you seen some of those gadgets? It's incredible. And I'm just praying, Lord, close my wife's eyes, that she doesn't, see all these gadgets and stuff, you know, because inevitably, but they come with all this equipment and this stuff, and they're going to do the job, you know, they're going to do this amazing baking or cooking and stuff. But if you don't have that stuff, it just makes it impossible. Just makes it basically you can't do it. And I'm saying, what are the tools that God is giving us? What is the stuff that He's empowered us with to run with? Now, I want to start with, when we, again, think of the disciples, apostles' point of view. When they were with Christ, they already received the word. They already received some tools. But one of the things they've asked God about is prayer. They asked Jesus about prayer. And that is one of the absolute key things that God gives us. One of the key concepts that we receive from Him. And it still boggles the mind that we are able to communicate and have intimacy with the King of the universe. Doesn't it boggle your mind sometimes? You know, to think about it, they had been under the law, under all these rules, and now they have access to the presence of God. Where before, they, for hundreds and hundreds of years, since the fall of man, since sin entered, a man was not able to experience the presence of God. Individuals could not experience the presence of God. There was the tabernacle, there was a temple, there was a specific place where the Ark of the Covenant was put, and in that specific place, only the high priest could go in there. And heavy curtain in front of it, closed off one side, you can't go in there because you will die. And I mean, even the high priest was nervous to go in there. He had to do all the stuff. He had to wear the right things. He had to be the right guy and the right lineage and all that stuff. And when he went in there, they actually tied a rope around his ankle, because if he were to die in there, we're not going to go get him. No ways, you know. They did this. They could pull him out by the ankle so that nobody else had to die going in there. So this is where they come from. And then this powerful thing happens. Is that when Jesus dies, in that moment, that veil is torn from top to bottom. That veil, God tears that veil. He says, come to me through Jesus Christ. Come now. I've sorted this stuff out. You can come again. You can freely come to me. Through Christ, you have access to me. You can come. I want you. I'm a good father. I want you to come into my presence. I want to read it for Isaiah 40, 29. It says, He gives power to the weak, to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We have access. We are able to draw near to Him like never before that we're able to draw near to Him. And he's opened the way. And he said, come. Boldly draw near. Boldly come to me as your father. Boldly come. And that's the next key that I want to mention here is when he teaches the guys to pray, when the disciples come in and say, Jesus, teach us to pray, because I think they noticed this about Jesus. They've seen rabbis pray. They've seen how they've been. They know something about prayer. They've seen priests pray. But I think they noticed there's something different in how Jesus prays. He goes on the mountain by himself. He spends hours on his own. I thought, from all the stuff, there's not a lot of times they ask him stuff. Have you noticed this? For all the things, they didn't say, Lord, show us how to do miracles. Show us how to raise people from the dead. They asked him about this, about praying. And then Jesus could have, how does he start? He doesn't say, you know, he could have chosen so many titles that we could approach God with, right? People are big on titles often. His Excellency, your Honor, what are all the stuff that we have to call people? You know, and then, I mean, he could have said, you know, approach God like this, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But how does he teach us? He says, ours to say, come, approach me like this. Absolutely must have boggled their minds because this had not been like this ever before. God has not communicated, has not expressed himself or introduced himself as Father before that. We know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know all that kind of things where God says, this is who I am. But now he says, come to me as a Father. And that brought a massive shift in how we are able to relate to him. So he gives us this open invitation. He says, draw near to me as a father. So in that place of intimacy, we receive, we are established in our identity in Christ. We are established in who we are in him. We are transformed. We are changed to be more like him. We are empowered. So that is the starting place, right? That place of intimacy, the place of prayer. I can't stand still with that very long, but I want to say to us, God is inviting us into that place. I mean, then the second one is he's given us his word. And again, the disciples have had some of this. They've had the word to a certain extent. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word is life. I mean, Proverbs 4, verse 4, 20, 22 to 22. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. This is not a dead book. Jesus is the living word. He came to fulfill the word. He was there in the beginning. You know, the spoken word became alive, and it's still alive. Even, you know, when you read the scripture with the power of the Holy Spirit, it changes us. It transforms us. It has power to impart life to us. It's not just dead. It's as if sometimes we treat the word like a fortune cookie. You pull a thing out of a box and you say, oh, this is a nice thought for the day. You know, or let me just get some handy tip. There's a bunch of handy tips that somebody has put in a book form. It's not like that. These are the manufacturer's instructions. This is not a handy tip. You cannot survive without this kind of book. Amen? This is not maybe I should have a look at some of these tips now and again. This is not I just want to have a nice thought for the day. This is the instruction manual for life. Manufacturer himself, the one who manufactured us, he says, listen, you need to study this to be able to make it. I know us guys sometimes get this we unpack the thing. Maybe this. Hopefully, it'll be better with this aircraft that David's got now. But we are going to have to read those instructions, or at least allow my friend to show us what to do. But you know, we often fiddle and try and figure out, and then we break it, and we try and find the instructions, and we just call the people and say, please, can you just help me with this thing? God has given us of Himself. He's given us the Word. I mean, He's given. Sorry. And it's something that the way, you know, it's, He invites us to immerse us in the Word, to study it day and night, to have it in our hearts, have it in our lips, to live by it. It imparts life to us. It imparts health to us. And it is the author of the universe, the author of life, that's given, entrusted this to us, that's given this to us. And the powerful thing also is, I mentioned this recently, that there's this paradox of faith around us, that for our faith to grow, we need the Word. But we need faith to read the Word. So there's the kind of which comes first. But for me, it's more like, not necessarily chicken and egg, but more like a snowball effect. Yes, I have more faith, so I want to read more Word. But as I read the Word more, I have more faith. And then I'm just more excited to read the Word, and my faith is built even more. And just, there's a snowball effect right there. He's given us of Himself in the Word. And it's a life. Trust, even as we work through this Explore campaign, that this will be something that is stirred again in our hearts, a love for the Scripture, a love for the Word. But then I want to come to a point that I actually want to focus on. We still have to rush a bit. But can we go maybe one or two back? So the reason I've chose this picture, you remember remember that poem, Footprints in the Sand? There was a time where this was everywhere. You know, you could find it on people's, in framed, you know, in a wall, behind toilet doors, everywhere. It's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. Very encouraging. This dream, if you don't know what it is, it's a dream that a lady had. And she, in the dream, she saw her life. She saw kind of scenes of her life. And she saw her and the Lord walking together. She looked back when she in kind of scenes of her life flashing past as they were walking, and then she looked back and she saw interesting things. She saw in the most difficult crisis parts, you know, heavy times of her life, there was only one set of footprints. And she asked God, "But Lord, what happened here?" And I mean, in the worst part of my life, you were there. And I think this may be what the disciples felt like. Jesus is just leaving them right there, you know. And he said, no. And this is the powerful thing of the poem. He says, no, that's the time when I carried you. So that's why there's only one set of footprints. So they're very encouraging thing, you know, and actually powerful revelation. But we feel sometimes like that God is, you know, how has left us with all this stuff to do. And how has He empowered us to do it? So I want us to go forward from there and look at how Jesus gives us the Great Commission. Luke chapter 24, this is one of the different way. This is not the way, one we use a lot. From verse 46, and He said, "Yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of His name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." You know, the version that we often read is the one in Matthew, where he says, go into all the world. Jesus gives us this most important mandate. He says, this is why I'm here. This is what I impart to you. This is the baton I'm giving to you. I have started this work. Excuse me. And you need to finish it. You need to take this message into all the world. He gives us this massive mandate, this instruction. It's almost as if He's sending the guys into battle, right? He says to them, run, take this thing. Have you seen a relay? You know, I loved running relays at school, and because that obviously can go really badly if you miss that thing. But, you know, once you take hold of that baton, you just let loose and you give it everything you got. There's no trying to gain speed or anything. In other words, in fact, if you've practiced it well, by the time you take it, you're already on full speed, right? This is the kind of image we get here. Take this thing and go. And then Jesus says something really interesting. He says, wait. Don't go yet. Stop. I'm giving you this thing to run with, but wait. Isn't that a bit confusing? But then he said, but this is the key here. He says, I'm giving you the most important instruction and mandate, but you cannot go unless you've received the power of the Spirit. Do not go, but wait in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. In other words, yes, this is the most important thing, but do not go without this. Can you see this? It reminds me of, you know, some of these action movies. I'm not so big on violent movies, but I enjoy action and some of these war stuff, right? It's difficult to find the balance there. But you know, they get this task, the whatever SEALs or whatever, they're sitting, they get the instructions, this is the mission, they have a board and a map and they do stuff there and they go, Roger, whatever, yes we do it. And then they got the times, everything, and they got the chopper waiting, and then they get their gear. Huh? Have you seen those scenes where they just, you know, load stuff and put stuff in, grenades everywhere and gear up, and they like got all these helmets and things. And I remember when I was in the Defense Force, that was a key part of whatever you were going to do. Is this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to need to do it, like those cooking show guys, same thing. This is what you're going to need. You can't skip this bit. You can't get the instruction and get onto the chopper. You have to do this bit. Otherwise, you're going to be dead in the water. You're going to have, it's just going to be zero. Well, that's quite a good image, dead in the water, because they won't achieve anything. You can't skip the bit of taking your gear. And I feel this is what God is Jesus saying here. This is the mandate, but get the power. Get the tools. Be empowered. Take the tool that you need, and then you run. But how often do we seem to skip that part? And the image that God gave me is that some of us, like my garage, your tools are missing, or you don't know where they are, or you're not using them, or they're stashed away somewhere. You're not working with those power tools. And I don't know about you, I'm old enough to know what it feels like to put in a lot of screws without a power screwdriver. It's, you know, when we came back from England putting together furniture, one of our furniture pieces is this bunk bed thing. Only that one had over 300 screws in it, you know, and all kinds of different screws and stuff. Imagine having to do that with your hand. In the old days, we did. But I remember not having a power tool, and then you're going to bed that night and you're thinking, why is my hand and my arm in this funny position? You know, it's because you would put in like 150 screws with your hand, you know. But God says, I'm giving you power tools. I'm giving you power to do this job quickly and efficiently. And it will take you into a whole new dimension. Going from putting 300 screws in with your hand and then using one of those, bzz, 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 it's just a completely different dimension. Can you see that? And if God is calling us to go into battle, and says, don't skip the part where you get the power and the tools to do what you need. Otherwise, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be tired. You're going to be sore. You're not going to get anywhere. Make sure you're walking with this empowerment. So I don't have any time left. I just want to maybe just mention one or two of these scriptures. John 14:16, it says, I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you without. There will not be one set of footprints because I've gone. I will not leave you. I will not, no, Jesus is not just upped and gone and cheers, good luck. I will not leave you orphans. I'm sending you a helper, similar to me. And Jesus was in the form of a man, so he is God, but in the form of a man, limited to one place and one time, right? Limited at that point. And he says, it's better for you. This is the next scripture. Let's quickly look at that. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. I can imagine this conversation, Jesus saying, guys, I have to go to my father. And say, no, no, not going to work. You can't do this. You can't leave us here. Don't do this, you know. And he says, and then he has to convince him, no, it's to your advantage. It's better that I go, because I will send you this helper. And I'm thinking, if Jesus says there's something better than Jesus in the flesh next to me, surely I can must pay attention to that. Surely I can't ignore this helper that he's sending me. Amen? I'm sending you another helper. Don't go without him. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you in the lurch. I'm sending you another helper. I'm empowering you with myself. I'm giving you of myself, the very Spirit of God, the same power that rose Christ from the dead, the same power that was hovering over the water, keep creation, the same Spirit that was in Christ. He says, I will give you a helper. Can we go without that? Can we live without that helper? And what had God pressed on my heart is that some of us that are going about our business, going about our marriage, going about stuff that we believe God has called us to do, but we are sore and we are frustrated and we feel we're not making it. But he says, you're not taking the tools, you're not receiving the helper. Have you invited the helper into your marriage? Have you invited the Holy Spirit? Have you sat in at your workplace in your office and said, Lord, I cannot do this if you do not give me power by your Spirit? I mean, it's as if God is saying, guys, you've run straight past the gear up section. Or maybe you've put them down on the way, or you've lost some of them like I have, but you're not embracing that. Not living in complete dependence upon the Spirit, the Helper. Acts 1 says, you will receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What for? You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This is what the power is for. Run with it. It's for the sake of His name. Let's skip the next one. But when they received the power and the Holy Spirit came in that place on the day of Pentecost, that's when the church started right there. I'm just encouraged again, you know, when the Holy Spirit entered that room, it says there was a sound like of a mighty rushing wind and it filled the room. This is why the guys that listened to Jesus and said, okay, we can't go yet, we have to wait, right? So we're waiting. So there's this mighty sound and a rushing wind and then a flame of fire upon each single person. Not one was skipped, guys. This is not just for some believers. This is not just for the most holy ones. This is not just for the apostles. This is for every believer. Amen. Each one. I cannot imagine a good father sending us to do all of this amazing good work that he has prepared for us and saying, okay, I'm just going to give some of you the right to rest. Just, you know, stay up there with that. Good luck. I can't see that. I see a good father that is empowering us as laborers to do and to finish his work. To join with him in the joy of finishing his work. To be co-workers with him. And I don't see him excluding anybody. Each one. The rest that the Holy Spirit came upon each one. There's a few, I mean, if you look at how people were filled with the Spirit in the New Testament, I'm just going to mention this now, this example in Acts chapter 8. So Philip went to Samaria, because Jesus says, go to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, Samaria, right? And then to the ends of the earth. It got a bit wide after that. But, you know, Reinhard Bonnke said the other day, you can just imagine Philip going to the apostles. Did Jesus say Samaria? Did he really say Samaria? Because Samaria was a bit of a not PC place to go, you know, not so cool place to go. Cultural boundaries, you know, just kind of, basically the Jews hated the Samaritans, that if we can just say it like that, what it was. That nobody wanted to go there, but Jesus specifically said Samaria, I think, for that very reason. And Philip must have said, but why is nobody going to Samaria? You know, in any case, so he goes there, he preaches the gospel, people get saved, there's a great joy in the city, signs and wonders happen, people respond to the word, they're baptized in water, having believed in Jesus, and then there's something, there's a second thing, encounter that they have. They have received Christ, they have believed, they have been baptized, and then the apostles hear about this happening. And they say, oh my goodness, there's stuff happening in Samaria. They send some guys to go and do follow-up. Peter and John go. And then they lay hands on the people to receive the power of the Spirit. There are two. They've experienced salvation and baptism. And a couple of days later, they've received the gear, the empowerment, the power tools that they can go and be victorious for what God has called them to do. Amen. So yes, it doesn't always happen all at once. It can happen all at once. We see that also in Scripture. But I want to encourage you, if you have experienced life in Christ, but you have not yet received the empowerment of the Spirit, I want to say, like Jesus said, you can't go on without that. Wait. Not actually, don't have to wait anymore, because He's already sent His Spirit in all His fullness. But don't go without Him. Don't go without this amazing gift that God wants, that God is imparting to us. In Luke chapter 11, I don't have it up there. I think I might have it in my notes here. In any case, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, you know, He says about asking and receiving, about knocking and having it, getting an answer. And that's not yet. So it says, ask and you will receive, knock and it will be open to you. And it says, if you ask your dad on earth for something, he will not give you something else. If you ask him for a bread, he will not give you a stone. If you ask him for a fish, he will not give you something else. You know, he's saying, if we are being evil in our nature, if we are able to give good things to our children, and he says, how much more will God the Father give His Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more? And He's inviting us, He's saying, come boldly and ask. He's poured out His Spirit. He's not meant, it's not only for some, it's for everyone. He's inviting us to come to the place of intimacy, place of empowerment, so that we're able to run with what He has given us to do. Amen. Let's stand this morning. So as I mentioned, I feel this. I believe there's some of maybe that here that have experienced maybe a relationship with God to a certain extent, that have known Him. And I feel firstly that God is inviting us to Himself. He's saying that the curtain has been torn. I've opened the way. And you have access, and in fact, not only access, I'm inviting you as a father to approach me as a father and to come to me. And I sense there's some that have already done that. We have drawn near. There's some that have already a relationship with Him. But it's as if we've skipped that part where we need to receive that power. And then there's another group, I believe, where we have received the power of the Spirit. We have received the infilling of the Spirit. Then Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, I want to remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6. And he says, you need to fan that into flame. You need to, embrace it, work with it, stir it up, pursue that relationship with the Spirit, just like you're pursuing a relationship with Christ. Trust Him, grow in that relationship. And I've sensed there's some that God is inviting us to embrace that again. To say, Lord, maybe my tools are in a corner somewhere. Maybe I've lost or misplaced. There's a bit of frustration maybe in your life. There's a lack of power in your work, in your marriage, in you being a laborer. The Father says, I want to keep on filling you. There's a place where we can be filled afresh and renewed, even daily. Guys, I know I've experienced when I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me again, when I'm inclining my ear to what He's saying, it doesn't matter where I go, God wants to minister to people, wants to minister His love to people. I mean, I just minded of I was sitting on an airplane flying to Cape Town, and I saw as we were taking off this poor lady sitting next to me. She was from Mozambique. She was terrified. She was clinging to those armrests like this, and I was very tempted. Those jokes that you make with people on airplanes. Did you know this was manufactured by the lowest bidder? Cheapest way possible. Did you know that all of these 6 million parts on their own can't fly? And I was tempted, but I didn't. I resisted. I'm not going to make those jokes. And I spoke to her, and we started chatting, and I prayed with her, and she could relax a bit. Then we chatted, and it seemed she was a believer already, and she had a hunger for the things of God. But she had this thing in her mind that she had to perform and reach a certain standard of faith before she could receive the power of the Spirit. And she had some fears in her heart about whether she could achieve that. And she had a fear that she would be rejected because of that she was not up to scratch. And I was so thankful that God put me next to her. We could chat about this stuff, and I could show her some stuff from Scripture. And I said, God is a good Father, and He wants you to have this gift. And we prayed right there. And we see this in Acts. People start prophesying and speaking in tongues. It happened right there next to me on the plane. Started speaking in tongues. The poor person that was at the window seat, he was just reading his book there in the corner. Shame. We did have a good chat afterwards, so I think he's fine. But I was amazed because she was living with this fear. She was living with this, God is going to reject me. Maybe I'm not worthy of this gift. But He says, no, He's a good Father. Amen. Wherever we go, there's people that need for us to be empowered with the Spirit, so that we can minister His love in a way that represents Christ well. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have invited us to approach You as Father, as a loving Father. Oh, this morning, Lord, as our eyes closed, Lord, we humble our hearts before You, God. We acknowledge, Lord, that we need You in our lives. We acknowledge, Lord, that we cannot do this on our own. We acknowledge, Lord, that, yes, God, without You, we are nothing. We are nothing without You, Lord. I say, and say, oh, if that's you this morning and you know that you're not right with Him now, you know you don't have a real relationship, you know there's no life in your relationship with God, maybe there's a religion, maybe there's an attempt from your side to do stuff to please God, but right now in your heart, you don't have peace about your eternal destiny. You don't know if you have eternal life. You don't know if God hears your prayers. And I believe that, I know that this morning the Father is saying, come to Me, my child, come. The veil has been torn. Come into My presence. Come and receive fullness of life through Jesus Christ. Come and lay down your life. Yes, it means you're going to have to repent of your sin. Yes, it means you're going to have to lay down your life. It means you are no longer Lord of your own life. And if that's you this morning, and you want to take that step of faith and say, Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. I give my life to you. I receive life in abundance. If that's you, while every eye is closed, please raise your hand for a moment. It will be my privilege to pray with you this morning. Is there anybody like that? You want to choose to follow Him. You want to choose Him as Lord and Savior. Is there anybody? And secondly, if you are here and you know you have a relationship with Him, but you have not been empowered by the Spirit of God. Like those guys in Samaria, you have received Christ. You know you believe. You know you have a relationship with Him. Maybe you've even been baptized, but like those believers had to receive the power of the Spirit. And if you're in that place this morning and you have not yet received that power, you've not yet collected those power tools to do your work, if that's you and you have a desire to be filled with the Spirit this morning, won't you raise your hand for a moment? I want you to come forward and we want to pray with you to receive that empowerment. Is there anybody like that? Thank you so much for your boldness. There's a couple of hands. Why don't you guys just be bold and come to... And I'll just say, even if you have been filled with the Spirit, even if you want to just take a stand this morning and say, Lord, I've not been stirring up this gift. I've been maybe a little bit frustrated. And I need to be filled again. I need to be filled afresh. Please, why don't you also come forward now? We're going to just pray with you. We're going to trust God for a infilling. Amen. When those guys that raise your hands, please come forward now for the prayer in the Spirit. And if you just want to take a stand against, Lord, I need to be filled afresh. I want to encourage you to come to the front. Someone come right now, then we can start praying. Thanks so much for your boldness. Great, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to also, a sense, if you're experiencing that frustration maybe in your work or in your marriage and you just want to pray with somebody for the empowerment of the Spirit in that area, as we're going to close now, I want to encourage you to come to the front. I encourage you to pray with somebody. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you empower us. Thank you that you do not leave us as orphans. Thank you that you've sent your Spirit, you've sent of yourself to us forever. Lord, you've given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the ability to approach you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. As we go from this place, Lord, we ask that you'd send us out again as laborers. Send us out again, but Lord, that we would daily, even if we need to, know that we're walking in this power that you've given us to do the good works that you've set before us, Lord, to glorify your name, to grow in our faith, Lord, to grow in our ability to hear your voice, Lord, to be able to respond to your voice, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on every person here. Thank you right now. You stir in our hearts a hunger and a thirst for you, a stir in our hearts, a desire and an urgency to press into, to stir up the gift that is inside of us, Lord. Press into more of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have any other prayer need, well, we're going to pray for these guys in the front there. If you have any other prayer need, please join us in the front. We'd love to agree with you in prayer. I don't have the answer for you necessarily, but I know God has. Amen. He has made a way. And I ask some facilitators to please join me in the front as well. We're going to pray. God bless you as you go. We have an evening service, so invite somebody and join us this evening. If you still want to join an explore group, please do that. And remember the early bird. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.